Go to Staples for everyday low prices, plus special deals for even more savings. Make everyday low prices happen. Make everything for your business happen. Staples, make more happen.
What does it look like to engage the intersection of work, faith, and culture in daily life? A partnership between the Kern Family Foundation and Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary has opened the door for us to examine this question through the Intersect Project. Intersect offers a hub of robust resources, including free courses, discipleship books, video content, and more, to help believers navigate day-to-day topics like vocation and family through the lens of the gospel. Featuring reputable speakers, teachers, and writers on culture, and Southeastern's own faculty, we want to create conversation about today's culture. Come and join the conversation at intersectproject.org.
It was the smallest lineup of candidates yet at a GOP debate, but there were still plenty of fireworks.
This little guy has lied so much about my record.
Here we go, the person.
Republican presidential candidates Donald Trump and Marco Rubio there squabbling again at the latest GOP debate in Detroit, where Rubio challenges the frontrunner's business record, saying some of Trump's products are made overseas. While on the same debate stage, Republican candidate Ted Cruz says he's the best alternative to Donald Trump.
The question is, do you understand the principles that made America great in the first place?
John Kasich also at that debate with Rubio, Cruz, and Trump. Ben Carson skips it. He's hours away from making an announcement about the future of his campaign. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump will skip his scheduled appearance tomorrow at the annual Conservative Political Action Conference. CPAC organizers announced the cancellation on Twitter and said it sends a clear message to conservatives. This is USA Radio News.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
People who go to the hospital when they are sick sometimes find that it's a good place to get sicker.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that hospital-acquired superbugs kill 75,000 Americans a year. CDC infectious disease expert Dr. Clifford McDonald says people can pick up these superbugs in many ways.
From things like bed rails or the hands of healthcare workers, often those organisms are antibiotic resistant.
He says if you go to a hospital, you have to be careful.
Patients, meanwhile, should be aware of these issues and not be pressing their physicians or nurses to get antibiotics when they don't need them or they're being told that they don't need them.
The doctor says superbugs are a major concern.
The problem of antibiotic resistance is still out there and looming large.
I'm Randy Fuller.
U.S. military officials are telling North Korea it needs to stop making threats and focus on fulfilling its international obligations. The comments come after the North Korean leader is reportedly ordering his military to ready its nuclear weapons for use. A news report from North Korea says Kim wants his military to be prepared to carry out preemptive attacks. On Thursday, North Korea fired several short-range weapons into the sea. It's believed to be a reaction to new sanctions from the UN over North Korea's long-range rocket launch and nuclear test earlier this year. An investigation is underway into possible brake issues with nearly half a million Ford F-150 pickup trucks built in 2013 and 2014. The agency says owners have reported a loss of braking with the pedals suddenly going all the way to the floor of the vehicle. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Well, good afternoon. It's March 4th, excuse me. Can you believe? And we're here with the sports guys. Looks like so far everybody has deserted me. I'm Pat Smits, one of your sports guys. In fact, the original sports guy. And unless one of these other guys shows up, one or more, I think you're going to be hearing about one of my all-time favorite players who has been inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I'll just give you some stuff I know about Brett. But before we do that, let's talk about the weather for the weekend, because for all of you folks that are feeling a little housebound, I think we've got at least one day that you can get outside this weekend. And now I'm going to have another sports guy, so maybe I won't be able to tell you and spend the entire time talking about Brett Favre. But in any event, tonight, about low of about 22 degrees, but tomorrow there are increasing clouds, but it should be a nice day, 41 degrees. Saturday night could be some rain, chance of rain, and possible then into snow, 30% chance. Sunday starts out with a chance of snow, then mostly sunny. and it can get up to about 45 degrees on Sunday, so it should be a nice day to get out there. Again, if you don't have to work on Monday, we're getting into some nice weather next week. Monday, it'll be about 55 degrees. So let me, before Bill takes over or tries to take over or tries to interrupt me, at least let me talk about a little bit about Brett Favre. And it's very interesting because anyone who followed his career, as I did, he's a very interesting guy. And he really had faith in his ability, even from the beginning. He was interviewed before the start of the 1993 season, and he said at that time his goal was to become the best quarterback in NFL history. And, anyone he was talking about that at that time would have been wondering what he possibly could have been thinking. Well, to take you back, the Favre I remember had flash talent in 1992, his first year with the Green Bay Packers. But the thought that he'd become one of the all-time greats, let alone the best ever, seemed pretty crazy even then. And so his ambitions, of course, came off as being heartfelt, but, Favre never, at least people initially, never thought that he'd be as good as he became. So if he never quite got to the top of the NFL's quarterback mountain, he at least got into the discussion for a while. Let's remember, he had a 20-year career, and it really was spectacular enough to land him recently in the Pro Football Hall of Fame with the presentation of his case and debate in the selection in the meeting in San Francisco lasting probably less than 10 seconds. People in the room said it might have been 5 seconds, but certainly not more than 10. So he was, of course, in the first year he was eligible, and for some people that Hall of Fame debate, that was maybe the shortest because apparently the longest took about an hour. So anyway, that type of instant recognition is reserved for the absolute few, and Brett is one of them. So, of course, I've been joined by my good friend and sports guy, Bill Wolfson. And by the way, if you haven't seen Bill's ride on the Zamboni when we were at the in Allentown, I mean, it is a picture to not be believed. The funny thing is, Bill's wife was in the stands watching. The woman sitting next to her, Ken Milstra's wife, Dawn, was sitting next to her. And, of course, she saw Bill riding around on the Zamboni, waving to the whole crowd. She thought that Bill's wife, Barbara, was also watching him, only to find out later that Barbara hadn't seen him at all. So it was a fun night, and I think Chris Phelan's daughter will never forget it, because she also had an opportunity to ride on the Zamboni. We all had a great time, and anyone looking for recreation for the kids, young people, I mean, it's really pretty relatively inexpensive, and frankly, it's as much fun, I think, unless you're a diehard Devils fan. Bill, I thought it was as much fun just watching that hockey game as going to the Devils Stadium and watching the Devils. Now, granted, I'm not a Devils fan. I really did enjoy going to Devils Stadium when they played the Blackhawks. But, yes, that's because I'm a Blackhawks fan. But I think anyone wanting to introduce their kids to hockey, you know, do it at a college level. Do it at, what is this, the farm team?
Oh, most definitely. This is AHL hockey in Allentown at the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. The Phantoms, as you know, are the Flyers' minor league team.
Actually, Bill, you know, it's amazing how many people didn't know that. I've talked to people that that I went to see the Allentown Phantoms, and they had no idea that they were the farm team. Nor, I think, do most people realize what a great stadium it is. It's easy to get to. Parking is, you know, although you have to go up and down this spiral into the parking garage, at least where we parked, it's you know, easy to get in. I think it was $6 for parking, which, you know, I go to court in Newark, and it's $18 or $19.
That's right.
So it was a fun night, and nice fans, great stadium.
Beautiful arena. Good, actually, decent arena food.
Arena, sorry.
Plenty of restaurants right next door, right around the corner.
Yeah, right around the corner, right?
Parking was easy, and it was a quick on and off of 78, too. So,
well, for those of us who didn't get, for those of you who didn't kind of get messed up, you do have to be a little careful, because if you're going over in the afternoon with the sun in your eyes, driving west, it's pretty easy to miss and what you need to know. And of course, Bill told me you get off at Hamilton Avenue. All he really needed to tell me is to get off at the Dorney Park exit. Then it is easy, Bill.
Well, you know, I've never been to Dorney Park, so I don't think of it that way.
Well, those of us who, you know, think of Dorney Park, that's exactly, you get off at that exit and you just follow Hamilton right down into the center of town. And now, let me ask you, if you get into the center of town, are there signs that say the arena is right there, because it's right off of Hamilton?
Yeah, that was the one thing I wasn't entirely impressed with. The signage was a little on the small side, and you really don't see the Pennsylvania Power and Light Arena where we went until you're almost up to it. So you have to watch out for 8th Street and Hamilton Street, because you'll be coming in on Hamilton. And once you're on 8th Street, you make a left turn right into one of the parking lots, either the outdoor lot or the spiral that you were in, the big parking garage. The one thing I think they would benefit from would be a walking bridge from the parking garage right into the arena.
What, you don't like to walk down 6 floors or wait a half an hour for the elevator?
Well, I think that's kind of fun. That's why I always park outside. I don't really enjoy doing that. I'd rather have outdoor parking and just walk, because there's just something about the cold weather and walking to the rink on hockey night, and the fans are all excited. The restaurants are open. People are standing outside, hopefully in the nice wintry weather, and having a drink or talking or whatever. And there's just some excitement about that that just really turns me on.
Okay, well, what it was is a lot of fun. I think we'll do it again next year, and we hope more people join us. And everybody who did join us, and this was the Sports Guys, and everybody who joined us had a great time. Many of us went out to dinner at the
Allentown Brew Works. They make their own beers, plus they must have 100 beers on tap and some other beers in bottles. And, you know, they feature a lot of the Pennsylvania homegrown beers or homebrewed beers, plus a lot of Pennsylvania agricultural products.
And actually, the cheesesteak was good. It wasn't Pattergino's, but Pattergino's really are just, that's something that you do when you're in Philadelphia, and frankly, I think there's just a mystique about it. Although I have to tell you, someone who's not from this area, I could never get used to cheesesteaks with Cheese Whiz, which is a traditional way to do it, isn't it?
Well, that is in Philadelphia. I can't imagine anybody in Wisconsin, the cheese capital of a nation, thinking of Cheese Whiz as anything other than the hot yellow plastic.
No, it's kind of like thinking of oleo and comparing it to butter.
Yeah, exactly.
So what else is happening in sports, Bill?
Well, one of my childhood heroes, Andy Bathgate, late of the New York Rangers, passed away at 83 this week, and I was really sorry, because when I was a kid and just getting into hockey at 8 years of age, Andy Bathgate was my hero. He led the New York Rangers for about 10 years. He also had stints in Montreal and Toronto and with a couple of the expansion teams in 1967. He finally hung up his skates in 1969. After a stint with the California Golden Seals, and went back to British Columbia, and retired and spent his years teaching hockey to kids. He owned a rink. He was considered to be a great youth coach, had a ranch, large family, and had a good life. So, Andy Bathgate, here's to you.
Well, that's honestly, that's well before my time, so I don't know if I've even heard the name, but I'm sure he was an excellent player. And, you know, the person, and I may have said this a few weeks ago, I saw an interview with Wayne Gretzky recently on television. You know, one of the things that's great now is there, you know, there it's 24/7. You can get sports 24/7. I even get to watch bull riding on television, believe it or not. So if you're a sports car guy or, you know, football, baseball, I mean, you can watch sports 24/7.
It's amazing how much is out there. I mean, the other night I was hoping that the Flyers Minnesota Wild game would be on. But unfortunately, they decided to show a curling match instead.
Well, let me ask you, Bill. You know, I know a lot of people would rather watch football on television than be at the game. They think they see the game, they can see it better on television. But what about hockey? I mean, I have to tell you, and I've watched hockey a lot on television, especially, you know, back many years ago when I, little black and white television, would watch the Blackhawks. But it seems to me that there's nothing like really watching hockey at the arena. What's your sense? Because you're much more of a fan than I am of hockey.
Well, I always like to go to the arena because, remember, generally the camera will focus just on the puck carrier and the few players around them. And if you've ever played the game, you know that the game away from the puck when you're not carrying it is just as important as the game with the puck. It's like in football where, you know, the camera focuses on the line play and the quarterback dropping back or handing off the ball. You don't really get to see what the wide receivers are doing because you're so far away. Where the television cameras are so far away. You don't really see where the quarterback is looking. You don't see how he's checking off his receivers and watching the thundering herd coming at him. Well, in hockey, it's really not all that much of a television sport, in my humble opinion. First of all, the puck is small. It's only really about 4.5 inches in diameter. So it's a little hard to follow. And somebody once joked that in hockey you never see anybody score because it all happens so fast.
Well, even, you know, even when you're at the arena, it can be very difficult to see that. But someone once told me at a hockey game, and I find this really interesting, to focus on one player. And, you know, not that you can't switch as they go in and out of the game, but to focus on one player. And to me, that's something to tell kids the first time they go, to focus on a player and follow that player to see the strategy. And you really are better able to see the strategy of the game when you do that.
And that's true, because in television, because the TV cameras generally follow the puck than the player, you don't get that benefit. But to really learn the game well, I was always taught, follow the players. Pick one guy and follow him. Or if you're really interested, pick three guys that are going to be on three different lines, three different forwards and two different pairs of defensemen, and pick one of each so that when they rotate the lines or they rotate defensemen, you're always watching number 19 or number 37 or number 97 and seeing how they play. And if you're playing a position, you want to watch the pro who is playing the same position you're trying to learn. And I remember as a little kid being, well, not that little, 10 years old, going to Madison Square Garden with my grandfather and being told to watch number two or watch number nine. Number nine was Andy Bathgate. And I had a real fascination with how he managed to handle the puck and the way that he would sometimes brace himself when somebody was trying to body check him. So it's a very interesting thing to just pick one guy who's playing the position you want to play or you think you might want to play, or maybe you've been following him because you read about him or he's a star, and see how he does. Because even when he's sitting on the bench, It can be a very, very revealing thing, especially when a coach is maybe saying something to somebody or watching a hand gesture or how they're reacting to the play on the ice. So, but hockey is a funny sport. It's not really as good a television sport. It doesn't lend itself to television to the extent basketball does, where it's really compact.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it seems to me that even football is the good thing about football is on television, it's not cold. So
that is true.
But I think they do a better job, and I think you're right. It's probably because of the puck. But they don't seem, the hockey games that I see on television, it's harder for me to follow hockey on television. I can follow football on television. Maybe it's just I know football better. I prefer going to the stadium and watching football. But I think you're right. It's some sports give themselves, to watch, on television. In fact, I will say that very often it's easier to watch tennis on television, especially depending on where your seat is, because, you go to Arthur Ashe Stadium, and if you're up in the nosebleed section, you really can't even see a lot of what's going on. I mean, you see it, but you don't. I mean, it's too far away. So where you can see on television, very often it's much better because you can really see the play. You can see, how they're planning for the next ball. And so, I guess it's interesting. And
I agree with you about tennis. I have watched tennis on TV a lot, and I've only been to Arthur Ashe Stadium once, and that was maybe 25 years ago, 15, 20 years ago maybe. And they were nosebleed seats because I'm not really a big tennis fan. But I've been watching the game more and more on television, and I find that I pick up pointers and tips a little easier just watching some of the people play, like Federer or Martina Navratilova.
She doesn't play any longer, Federer.
A number of them do.
Yeah, they do, and you're right. The most of the tennis announcers are also very good. I mean, they're former players. They're former really good players, and they can point out things that. That frankly, I don't know about hockey as much, but they certainly don't point out those things in football in the same way that they announce tennis. I think they do a great job.
I think more people play tennis and more people watch tennis, especially at the high level that you might see at Arthur Ashe Stadium or on television in a number of the internationally competitive matches. And because they play and because they're really interested in the flow of the game and watching the people who are really skilled play, they do it to improve their own game as well as just for entertainment. But it is an entertaining game to me.
Well, I think the other thing is to go to the U.S. Open, and that's one of the things that any sports fan, obviously any tennis fan, anyone who plays tennis, but even people who are more casual fans. I mean, going to the U.S. Open is one of those experiences that, you don't necessarily have to sit in Arthur Ashe Stadium. You can go. There are usually, a number of matches going on at the same time. In fact, it's fun to go during the week when, even before the quarterfinals, because it's interesting to see some of the younger players playing, and then 2 years from now you'll see how they're coming up in the rankings, and anyway it's just a fun experience.
It certainly is. The thing that I enjoy is going up to the tennis center here on Route 31 when there are matches or exhibitions. I've gone a number of times, and you always pick up something interesting.
Now that's interesting because I live fairly close. I mean, very close to the tennis center.
You're within 3 or 4 miles.
And I've never been in there. I mean, we don't play. Dave and I don't play tennis anymore. We both, had our injuries, and so we're just, so we don't play anymore. And frankly, you know, I've never been in the tennis center. Now, of course, you know, we played tennis and we always played outside. And
I would rather play outside. I like the fresh air and the sunshine. But, you know, obviously in February, if you want to play tennis, you want to do it indoors.
Right. Well, it's different in some. Well, we played at Princeton University, and my favorite. Well, we played other places too, but Princeton University, the clay courts. I love playing on clay. I mean, I really did.
Game is so different. It's a little slower. It's a little easier on your legs and your knees, and for some reason, the ball comes off of clay a whole lot more in a whole lot more interesting way.
Well, I found that I could. Play with Dave and deal with his big serves on clay where, you know, forget grass. I mean, I would never be able to handle it there. But anyway, it's a fun game and, you know, it's good exercise. And, you know, good players, unless they're injured, you know, can play into their 70s. I mean, it's, you know, what I love to see are some of the older players and how strategically, you know, they can play and how what a good deal they do with it. Well, Bill, it looks like I don't know what happened to the other sports guys, but I think we've managed to use up about half an hour. So let me play why don't we do a news break and then we'll be back and let's see what's happening in the news.
And don't we owe some people some commercials?
No, I actually did that. You were a little late, so I played a few before you got here. So
oh, what a shame. Okay. I was hoping to hear your voice.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
Even if it's Trump, I support the nominee of the Republican Party. One, I have to work with that nominee to help defend this nation at a time that's most vulnerable. And two, that's the verdict of the Republican voters.
Senator John McCain saying he'll support the Republican presidential nominee, even if it's Trump. He also says a brokered convention would not be a good idea for the GOP.
I think that people are suspicious of, quote, backroom deals and all that. I hope it would play out in whoever, whether it's whoever it is, even if it's Trump.
Five states and Puerto Rico are headed to the polls this weekend. Kansas and Louisiana will see Democrats and Republicans at the polls tomorrow. Republicans will be voting for their candidate in Kentucky and Maine, with Democrats casting their ballots in Nebraska. The GOP has 178 delegates up for grabs, while 156 are in play for the Democrats. This is USA Radio News.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to come in and speak with someone?
Negative, Control. With Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, you can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. Their award-winning client service is beyond anything I've ever experienced.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Okay, we're back with the sports guys, and it's Bill and Pat today.
Hey, folks, you're just stuck with us, Pat.
Yep.
But you know something? We've got broad shoulders. We can do it. I'm here from Hunterdon County, and you're from the wilds of Wisconsin, so I don't see why we need those other guys to interrupt us. We're having such a good time. Meanwhile, the Major League Baseball suspended Arnaldo Chapman for 30 days, starting with the beginning of the baseball season for allegations of domestic violence. Now, Pat, he apparently was investigated by the police and not prosecuted. The charges were dismissed. The woman who was involved is a girlfriend, and she apparently didn't want to press charges. But what's your take on sports? Should they be punishing athletes when the law does not?
Well, I mean, that's obviously a real concern for anyone who's an attorney. Now, I don't know anything about this particular case, and of course, everyone, you know, saw some of the horrendous cases, and they do have a clause, I believe, in all of their contracts that they certainly can, but if, in fact, the police, and I'm not even sure. Do you know where that happened?
Not sure where it happened or when. I think it was in his home, and he also discharged a firearm during the event.
Well, the thing in New Jersey, if the police actually see that someone has been injured, then they must arrest the perpetrator. So that if the police are called in New Jersey, they can either assist the victim to file a domestic violence complaint, which is a handled in the family part of the superior court. But if, in fact, they see that someone has been injured, then they have to arrest the perpetrator. And most of the time in those cases, the police will file an assault claim or another, you know, depending on what the actual incident is, they will file themselves, meaning the police will file. That's handled in municipal court, and then the victim can file a domestic violence complaint in the superior court family part. Now, of course, again, I had a case that it was absolutely phony. The woman accused my client of assaulting her and throwing her into a wall in a restaurant. I was there. I was standing right there. Everybody was standing right there. It did not happen. But the police, in fact, did arrest him based on her claim that she'd been injured. And that created for him huge problems. I mean, he had to hire an attorney. It took months. The domestic violence complaint in the Superior Court was dismissed very quickly, and this really hurt him financially. It hurt him because I couldn't represent him. He had to hire an attorney, and so, you know, he ended up spending thousands of dollars on an absolutely phony claim. That doesn't answer your question, because the issue is whether or not an employer, in this case the NFL, should or not, it wasn't, it was baseball. So should the employer then impose some punishment when the person has not been found guilty or pleaded guilty? I think that's a real tough question, and frankly, my gut feeling is that there should not be. In other words, why, if someone is not found guilty, should their employer punish them? And with what evidence? Are they going to have another hearing? Now, how is baseball handling these cases? Do you know, Bill?
Baseball is basically conducting a hearing. The commissioner gets a recommendation and makes a ruling. In the case of Arnaldus Chapman, he avoided a hearing and consented to a 30-day suspension. I think that was probably done at the urging of Major League, not just Major League Baseball, but also the Yankees, because he's a relief pitcher. He is going to go through spring training with him, and then he's going to sit for 30 days and not play. But the Yankees have an extremely strong bullpen. So although he's a valuable piece of it, I think he will not be as missed. And
yeah, but wait a minute.
He saves his arm for later in the season.
Yeah, but wait a minute. That's exactly perhaps why it shouldn't happen. And whether the Yankees use him or not, but unless, I mean, now everybody obviously, if he took the suspension, obviously they think he's guilty and that he would have had a more significant punishment. So what was he facing when he agreed to a 30-day suspension?
I can't imagine, but the fact that he is one of the more valuable relief pitchers on that staff and has played extremely well, I think he throws 100 mile an hour and up fastball. He's got tremendous movement on a slider. I saw him playing when he was with Cincinnati last year. And remember, the Yankees are absolutely loaded in the bullpen. So,
yeah, but you're not giving. That's part of the problem. What if they absolutely needed him? In other words, is it a suspension without pay?
Yes, it is. It's going to cost them, I think, $1,800,000.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me as if he was really worried that that a hearing would have, perhaps been something worse. Because who gives up $1,800,000? There's just something that doesn't sound right about that. But again, doesn't that bring up the issue of who should be the trier of fact in those cases? Should it be the baseball commissioner? Should it be the football commissioner?
Usually there's a mediator or an arbitrator that deals with this. If you've ever seen a collective bargaining agreement for professional
sports.
Yeah,
but that's different.
The collective bargaining agreement has contractually imposed conduct clauses. Additionally, they impose mediation or arbitration clauses.
Yeah, but this isn't done through arbitration or mediation.
He simply agreed to this period of suspension with the idea that it wouldn't be any longer. And I am convinced that this was, to some extent, a strategic move by the Yankees and their management, saying to him, you know, don't worry about it. Take the 30 days. We've got a strong bullpen. You'll be that much more rested in August and September when it really matters to us. And remember, the Yankees have starting pitching that is questionable, and they may not be able to routinely get the quality start of 5 or 6 innings and less than 3 runs. So the Yankees will be going to the bullpen probably more and more often as the season goes on. And I think Chapman will probably be needed more and more when we get into July and August.
That doesn't answer the real question. And isn't the question whether or not someone who's not prosecuted or is, let's say, found not guilty, which does not mean they're innocent, but it means that they've not been able
to
proven
its case.
Proven guilty. But should someone like that, the issue is, if they're not prosecuted or they're they're found not guilty, should there be additional penalties? And I think that both football and baseball and all the sports need to be very clear on that. In other words, what's going to happen?
Well, if there's an acquittal, if there's a jury finding or a trier of fact
finding
him not guilty,
in most cases.
And if there's somebody who, if a charge is dismissed and an investigation is done as to the facts, the police reports, whatever else is out there, and Major League Baseball, let's say, still feels that there's been some kind of a conduct violation, then certainly they're free to institute a proceeding.
But what should the conduct, I guess, and I have not looked into exactly how they define conduct and what would be the violation. But the other thing we have to recognize is, depending on the state, there are very different laws with respect to domestic violence. For example, in New Jersey, unless it rises to the level of a felony, and in fact you are indicted by a grand jury, which would happen obviously if it was domestic violence and it was a very severe assault, if it was obviously murder, attempted murder, then the person would also be indicted by a grand jury and prosecuted criminally. But in cases of domestic violence here in New Jersey, although the definition in each case is what is a crime, it could be assault, it could be terroristic threats, it could be kidnapping, any one of the harassment is probably the least, but it's still the criminal statute. But here it's handled in the family court. In other words, there's no jury.
It's just a judge who's a trier of fact.
It is a judge who's trier of the fact. It's not the standard used in criminal cases. In other words, it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. And so that, you know, that's the way it's handled here in New Jersey.
Well, remember, this is not a, you know, what the sports leagues impose is not a criminal justice sanction.
No, but it is
a suspension of employment.
A suspension and usually accompanied by some very serious fines. For example, and I've said this before on this program, one of the things that I'm concerned about is that there would be a lot of pressure on, let's say it's a woman who's involved with a sports figure, married to a sports figure, there's going to be a lot of pressure on her not to report because it would impinge on her economic wherewithal if she reports and someone, I mean, $1.8 million is if this was the fellow's wife, you know, that's going to have a big impact on the amount of money that's coming into that family.
It certainly does, and that's a terrible dilemma, whether you're the wife of a sports figure or you're the wife of the guy down the street.
Yeah, but remember, the guy down the street, let's assume that the guy down the street is charged with one of the crimes, assault, whatever, and in fact, he's found guilty after a trial in family part. He will be restrained from the house, but he won't lose his job. In other words, he could. If he was a police officer and then can't carry a gun, that could have significant consequences. Actually, lawyers can, there can be an ethical violation also. Maybe they would lose something. But the ordinary person is not going to lose their job. So although they may not be able to live in their house any longer, they're going to be able to go to work every day. If you're talking about a sports figure, if in fact they are suspended without pay, that's going to be a significant financial problem.
No question about it, Pat. But remember, the guy down the street may not have signed a lucrative contract with clauses that deal with personal conduct.
But Bill, you're missing my point. My point is the pressure on the woman who realizes that her husband or boyfriend could lose his job, the person who's supporting her if they lose their job, the policeman's wife, because she knows,
no question,
that if he's final restraining order and can't use his gun, there goes her support in most cases. I'm just generalizing a little bit. But the pressure there, the pressure, for example, in the military, we ran into the same thing in dealing with the military, because if someone in the military is found guilty of domestic violence, they're going to be out of the military. Means that they could easily lose their pension because they will not have vested in a pension. They won't be in the military that long. The woman in that situation, if she's living in a military housing, if she's married to a guy, I mean, it was a real difficult situation for the military to deal with domestic violence.
I'm not sure how the armed forces handle that.
Well, they these guys are booted. And, you know, if they're convicted, because especially if they're in a position where they're carrying a gun, but in most cases, and maybe my information, I was working pretty closely with them a few years ago, but in most cases, these guys were discharged.
Honorably or dishonorably?
I think sometimes it was neither. In other words,
administratively.
Administratively discharged. I'm not sure about that, and I think it depended on the situation. But what I'm saying is the pressure on military wives not to report was tremendous, because they might have been married to this guy who's in the military for 18 years. Two more years, he's going to get a pension. If he's discharged before that, he's not going to have the entitlements. He's not going to have the benefits that she was counting on. So in any event, bottom line, I have real reservations about whether or not some of this should be a reason for automatic suspension of your job. I think there are other ways to handle it. And frankly, in some ways, I think the conduct clauses are, you know, so selectively handled. You know, I know of a number of sexual assaults years ago among Green Bay Packer football players, some of whom were very well known. And frankly, the way it was handled in most cases, they were just traded to another team.
Well, that's true. That was the typical way you got rid of a problem player many years ago. The classic example of that was Billy Martin of the Yankees. Everybody remembers Billy Martin as the Yankee manager, but when he was a second baseman, there was an incident at the at a nightclub. I think it was the Copacabana. And he was there with Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Roger Maris, and Whitey Ford. And Berra had gotten up and gone home, but the other three were there drinking. And Martin apparently got into an incident. I don't remember what it was. A couple days later, he's traded to Kansas City. Well, he was only hitting about 250 or 260 at that point. And, you know, Mantle was probably hitting well over 300. Maris was probably with the team at that point, and Whitey Ford was probably the Yankees' best pitcher throughout his throughout the time he was a Yankee. So there's always a problem of, you know, you want to keep the fans coming and interested in the team. So the guy who's hitting 300 and knocking in 110 runs and hitting you 41 home runs is certainly going to get cut a little more slack than a guy who is barely hitting his own weight. So that's just, unfortunately, the world's not a fair place, and the business of sports certainly is not fair.
Well, but that's the issue. At what point should someone, and we get back to the very premise of what happens if someone may be charged and then found either not guilty after a trial or charges are dropped because there's not sufficient evidence, and should they go on to kind of get that double whammy and get punished by one of the, you know, the sports because of this conduct unbecoming. And I think it would be interesting for us to get one day, get a few people on and talk about that and get people's impressions as to, you know, how far should they go with these contracts, with these players signing these, you know, conduct unbecoming? I mean, what's unbecoming? Is it that well defined? I don't know. I guess, Bill, I'm going to have to tell you that what you should do is you should go and do the research and find out just exactly what is considered conduct unbecoming. Do they define it? I mean, is it really specific? Does this young player going into the league who signs one of these contracts, do they know, you know, for example, you know, what happens if they're, you know, pulled over at a high-speed chase, you know, because they have a new Ferrari and they're driving 100 miles an hour? Is that conduct unbecoming?
Well, I don't know. I think if you're driving a new Ferrari and you're driving 100 miles an hour, you're probably holding back, because I think those cars are like
all
rockets.
All right, so 120 miles an hour. The point is, what is considered conduct unbecoming? What
in
is considered just
in a sports
stupidity?
Contract, I don't know. And yeah. Here's the other problem you have. We know, those of us who've done criminal law know that if you want to make conduct criminal, you have to very specifically describe it so that somebody can look at a statute and know what not to do or
right.
what to do. An example of what to do is it's a crime not to file your tax return. So we all know we have to file our tax return on April 15th or get an extension.
Not this year.
It's another date, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, I'm
but
giving
the point
a generic
is,
example.
Yeah, the point is how well defined is conduct unbecoming? So does someone really know, for example, if they drive the Ferrari at 120 miles an hour and they get pulled over, that in fact is going to have a double whammy, because unless the police officer is nice and recognizes the kid and lets him off, you know, he's not only going to be paying traffic fines and have points on his license, but he's going to have to face one of the commissioners.
Well,
so I think that's what
and,
they need
and you
to
know.
Know
that some of these conduct clauses even prohibit relatively innocent conduct. One example is if you look at a collective bargaining agreement or a professional sports contract, they're prohibited from engaging in off-season activities that are dangerous, such as something I think is very innocent, skiing. The only thing that ever happens to people who ski is they fall down and they crash into each other.
Yeah, well, they break bones, and
yeah,
of course
of
they
course.
Don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And talking about breaking bones, I think somebody's going to be breaking ours if we don't kind of wrap this up. So
I think so, too.
Bill, what else do you have to say? We'll play a couple spots and go to Rewind.
Well, Saturday night, the Philadelphia Flyers are going to be in Columbus. They're going to be starting Steve Mason, who hasn't played since he became ill on February 20th. Last night, the Flyers really disappointed me. They lost to the worst team in the National Hockey League, the Edmonton Oilers, 4-0.
Where did they play, Edmonton or Philadelphia?
In Philadelphia. So can you imagine the Boo Birds in the Wells Fargo Center last
wow.
night? Holy
well,
smokes.
You know, I'm assuming they're not going to be playing in Philadelphia for a while because the Flower Show starts tomorrow. So.
Well, the Flower Show is actually not at Wells Fargo Center. The Flower Show is in the old building that used to be the Reading Terminal, the old train station building. They've turned it into a beautiful arena and conference center. In fact, my wife is going there on the 8th with a number of her friends for the day. I was at the Philadelphia Flower Show last year, Pat, and as much as I like gardening and things like that, I was a little disappointed last year. But they did have an exhibit for the Philly Fanatic and made out of flowers and a little baseball diamond. So that was kind of neat.
Okay, Bill, time to wrap. We'll see you all next week, and hopefully we'll be joined by our compadres, John and Ken.
Well, let's get up off that couch, folks. Have a good weekend.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle
Geico,
of care.
Geico, saving people money
if
for over 75 years.
Call
Welcome
Hunterdon
to Staples.
Medical Center's
Staples
physician
Guy, is this the right price on paper?
At 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.